And I want us to open our Bibles to the book of wisdom itself, Proverbs chapter 4. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 4. Hallelujah. I'm going to read it from verse 7. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse. Actually, I read it from verse 5. It says, get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, and she will keep you. Verse 7 is where I'm going. It says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Please turn to your neighbor, say, get wisdom. Say to them again, get wisdom. Get understanding. If you have that in your Bible, underline that verse 7. It's very key for your life. And then I'll look at Proverbs 24 as well and just build on that. Proverbs 24 from verse 3. It says, through wisdom, everybody say through wisdom, a house is built. And by understanding, it is established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant things. Through wisdom, a house is built. The Amplified Version says, through wisdom, a life, a home, a family is built. A house, a home, or a family is built through wisdom. And the last text is taken from the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 10, verse 10. If the axe head is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom, everybody say wisdom. Wisdom brings success. Hallelujah. Wisdom brings success. And wisdom is the principal or the main thing. Now, if the Bible is saying something is the main thing, you know that it's the main thing. If the Bible is saying in all you're getting, make sure you get wisdom. Get this thing that is the main thing. Then you know that that thing is not something that you want to joke about. You want to ensure that you have abundance of that thing in your life so that your life can be a success. So that your life can be glorious. So that your destiny can be fulfilled. Because if the Bible is saying, without this thing called wisdom, you can't build your life. You can't build a home. You can't build your family. You can't build your career. You can't build your business. Whatever you want to do in life, if you lack this thing called wisdom, you have failed. That's why the Bible says in the book of James, it says, if anyone amongst you, if he lacks wisdom, let him ask from the Lord, and he will give him liberally. He will give him liberally. Pastor told us that there are two sources of wisdom. We learned that. We learned that there's human wisdom, fleshy wisdom. That one will fail because the arm of flesh will always fail. But there's something called divine wisdom. Divine wisdom that comes from the spirit of wisdom himself, which is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So if we want to be successful in life, we need to ensure that divine, not human wisdom, not intellectual wisdom, not knowledge, because we also learn that you can have knowledge and still be foolish. Pastor told us that the medical doctors, they have all the knowledge about cancer and things like that, but some of them still smoke. So they have the knowledge, they know what it will do to you, but they still do it themselves. So they have all the knowledge, but they lack wisdom. So you can have knowledge but not have wisdom. Hallelujah. But it is the principal thing. Some people think that it's prayer, and prayer is one of the most important keys in life, because if you fail to pray, you will become a prey in life. There is no way you can live this Christian life successfully if you don't have a prayer life. So we know that's a no-brainer. But there are some things in life that don't just answer to prayer. Some of them answer, the key to the answer is wisdom. Because if you pray, for instance, that God should open a door of opportunity before you, and God opens that door before you through prayer, but you lack the wisdom to keep the door open, the door will shut. You pray, God, give me a job. God, give me, you know, help me to be married. God gives you a husband or a wife, and you lack wisdom on how to build your home. You know what will happen? But prayer has made the door open. So some things in life answer to wisdom. The Bible says that in the book of Matthew chapter 7 from 24 thereabout, Jesus was talking about two different types of people. He said the wise man is the one that builds his house upon the rock. The wise person builds upon the rock. And the foolish, they hear the words, but they get tantalized, but they don't do. So it makes you understand that even Jesus knows that this thing called wisdom is very, very important. Because he knows that sometimes people come, they hear the word, they know the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but they do very little. It's better for you to just know, if it's just one scripture you know, and that you apply. Because we know that wisdom is the application of the knowledge that you have acquired. So if I know the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, but I don't practice what I hear, I'm like that foolish man in Matthew chapter 7, verse 26, that Jesus was referring to. Who heard, who knew, who could quote all the scriptures, but he didn't apply any. And the Bible says that when the storms came, that house did not stand. That home could not be built. That family could not stand. That marriage could not stand. That business could not stand. Because they had knowledge, but they had no wisdom. The Lord will give us wisdom this morning in the name of Jesus. I said the Lord will give you wisdom this morning in the name of Jesus. But apart from wisdom, I've discovered that also in life, from Genesis, if you look through the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you will find out that God is a God of relationships. He wanted to relate with man so much, he came down from his glory. He laid aside all his majesty and came down to Adam and Eve in the garden just to have relationship with them, just to fellowship. He left all the angels, all the cherubim, all the seraphim, all of them up there. He said, I want to go down and meet man. Why? I want to commune. I want to fellowship. I want to have relationship with man. So God is a God of relationship. And even in the end, in the book of Revelations, you find out that it's still all about relationship. The marriage supper of the Lamb is about the bride and the groom having relationship, getting married. So from Genesis to Revelation, we see that God is a God that loves relationships, that is very, very, he's very, very cognizant of the part that relationships play in our lives. And he doesn't joke with his relationship with us. So if God doesn't joke with relationships, we should not joke with relationships. We should not joke with the relationships that God has brought our way. Because without wisdom, we can't build. But also without relationships, it will be difficult for us to fulfill our destiny. Very difficult. Because they say that you are only a few people away from your breakthrough in life. The people that God is going to use for your breakthrough, they are just a few people away from you. So if you ignore people, if you don't have the wisdom that it takes to maintain and sustain relationships, that person might truncate their destiny. Because they've been praying. God sends them somebody, but they don't have the wisdom that they need to ensure that they take everything out of that person or what God intended for them to have from that person. A lot of people are wasters of destiny, wasters of relationships, I beg your pardon. They fail to recognize, they fail to discern, they just live their lives carelessly, superficially. They don't discern. People come into their life, they don't ask questions. Who is this person? Why did God bring this person my way? You know, when you come to church, don't just come to church and hear the word. When you get back home, think. Think, okay, all these things that I've been hearing pastors say, how does it apply to me? We should ask questions. This person, I'm jumping ahead of myself. You know, wisdom is one of those things I'm very passionate about. I can speak all day about wisdom because it's, you know, when you're passionate about something, it grieves you when you see people that don't have it. It just grieves me. So I can speak all day, but I'm jumping ahead of myself. When you have wisdom for relationships, when you understand the importance of wisdom in relationships, for instance, as a single person, you will know, wisdom will tell you that you are not meant to sleep with a brother before you get married. When you understand that the person that you are going to end up yoking yourself to can determine your destiny, when you understand that the foundation that you lay for your marriage is what would determine how far that marriage will go, nobody will need to convince you or preach to you that you're not supposed to sleep with somebody before. You will know. Wisdom will tell you. Wisdom will tell you, I should not lay this kind of foundation for my marriage. You will be able to say to the bro, go away. In fact, you won't even be speaking to him. Because a lot of you don't understand how important your destiny is. That's why you are playing games. That's why you are still messing around with brothers and the brothers that are disturbing sisters. Any brother, I was saying during the divine connection, any guy that comes to you and says, prove your love to me by sleeping with me, dump him. That person is a killer of destiny. You don't need to hang around people like that. Believe God for a genuine man of God that will love and add to you. Anybody that you come into relationship with and they're all they're interested in is taking from you, taking your virtue, taking your honor, taking your dignity. Wisdom tells you to move away from that person. Say, get ye behind me. Whether he promises heaven on earth or not, wisdom will tell you you're not meant to be hanging around with people like that. If you're married, wisdom will tell you that you're meant to treat your wife with dignity. Wisdom will tell you, without wisdom, you cannot build. It's not only prayer. Some people, they over-spiritualize everything. Everything is the devil. Everything, the devil. Meanwhile, the devil doesn't even know where they live. It's you and your lack of wisdom. For instance, what are you doing spending all your time? There are some people that are married. They just behave like singles. So they are single married. They are married, but they are single. They still want to hang out with the boys. They are not responsible to their wives, to their children. Every night they are out with the boys, just gallivanting around the whole place. And then they will say, it's not the devil, it's you. Some people, they spend all their time building career, building business, building, you know, they just chase after all these things to the neglect of their families. And then they will say, the devil has entered. No, you did not have enough wisdom to know that you are supposed to prioritize your family life. You did not know that you're supposed to put your family after God. And that is what is causing the problem, not the devil. Let's leave the devil out of it. Hallelujah. Wisdom will tell you to avoid relationships that make you feel small. Wisdom. Any relationship that you are in, the person, they just belittle you. They just make you feel like you are nobody. You share something with them and say, is that it? I even thought you were going to come with something more. Is that the dream that you had? No, dream killers. They are everywhere. Say, I even thought you had one major. Is that all that God did? They just rubbish you, rubbish your dream, rubbish your vision, rubbish your marriage, rubbish your children. Wisdom will tell you that kind of person, you shouldn't be around them. You love them from afar. You keep them out. You define the access that you give to people. That's part of wisdom. You don't give your time to everybody. You have to ask. That's why you need to define relationships. You know everybody that you give your time to. Time is going. Even in the grave, if they bury somebody in the burial ground and they put a wristwatch on that dead body, you know the time will still be running in the dead. Yes, that's one thing that doesn't stop. Time. Even in the grave, the man in the grave has a wristwatch and it's still ticking. And time is going, you're not getting any younger. Destiny is awaiting you. What are you doing spending all your time with people that are not going anywhere? Some of us, we spend time with people that they're not adding anything to your destiny. They're not going the same way as you're going. All they're interested in doing is backbiting, gossiping, jumping from one place to the other. they don't have anything to add to you, and yet you still hang around with them. You have too many friends. I don't have any friend. My husband is my only friend. I don't. I have just one friend. I have acquaintances. I have just one. Because I'm very careful. Because access is the greatest thing anybody can give to you. Access. If I give you access to my life, you bring all sorts of things. So I must define the kind of access I give to you. And there's nothing I'm looking for in friendship that I don't have in my husband. What am I looking for? What? Ask your neighbor, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Some people, they are closer to other people. Married men, married women, they are closer to another, a man closer to somebody else that is not his wife. A woman that is closer to somebody else that is not her husband. They share the first, if anything happens to them, the first person they will pick up the phone and call is that person, not their husband or their wife. Be careful. It's not until you sleep with a woman before you've committed adultery. Because there's emotional adultery. They're so tight. So that person knows everything about them that their wife does not know. Or some couples, what are you doing keeping your password away from your husband or your wife? Your wife does not know the password to your email. Or your husband does not know the password to your phone or whatever. That's lack of, why are you hiding? What are you hiding? What are you hiding? We are meant to be open and transparent. Your phone will ring. You run. Almost break your neck. You run. Say, and the wife will say, who's on the phone? No. You just say, okay, yes, absolutely. You now be answering in monosyllables because you don't want the woman to know that you're in London. No. Say, where are you? I'm in Milton Keynes. Meanwhile, you're in London or Scotland. What kind of life is that? That's not the devil. That's you. And then you now say that the enemy come to pastor and pray for me. No. It's you. So wisdom is the principal thing in life. Very, very crucial to our destiny. Very, very crucial to where we are going. But this morning, I'm going to talk about three main relationships that we need to apply wisdom. These relationships are significant relationships to our destiny. Because God is going to, your rise and fall in life, it depends on people. Even when you die, you're going to need people to bury you. Can you bury yourself? So you need relationships. You need people. So you cannot do, there are some people that you must not joke with. Because they are crucial. You joke with them, you joke with your destiny. Full stop. So we're going to look at three major areas this morning that we need to apply wisdom for. The title of my message is Wisdom for Relationships. Simple. Wisdom for relationships. The first relationship, your relationship with God. Your relationship with God. Now, that might seem very obvious because we're in church. But the truth of the matter is that some of us, our relationships with God is really nothing to write home about. In fact, we don't actually have a relationship with God. We have a form of godliness. We have religion. We don't have relationship. But the Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So if you want to have wisdom in your life, you need to start at the beginning by looking at your relationship with God. That must be number one in your life. It is the beginning of wisdom. So whoever does not have God in their life, whoever does not cultivate a relationship, a vital, nourishing, healthy relationship with the Lord, there's no way that person can be successful. It is the beginning of wisdom. And it is only a fool, the Bible says, that says in his heart, there is no God. Because whether you believe that there are gems in this room or not, they exist. So whether you believe that God exists or not, doesn't change who he is. So it's only a fool that will say, no, I don't need God, or just be coming to church day after day, hearing the word, and not applying it. Just being religious. Your vertical relationship with God is very, very important. Because if your relationship with God vertically is nothing to write home about, then there's no way your horizontal relationships with other people will work. Yeah? So if my relationship, my connection to God is unhealthy, it will affect every area of my life. Most of the time, when I've not prayed or I haven't been doing what I'm supposed to do, reading my Bible or whatever, I find that I'm very snappy. I don't know if that happens to you. You just find that you're very edgy. You are, very quick-tempered. Before the children, you shout, That means that your relationship with God, you've neglected your first love. So it begins to affect every area of your life. It would affect your health. It would affect your relationships with people. It would affect your job. Because the Bible says it is in Him we live and move and have our very being. If you don't cultivate and nurture your relationship with God, it will affect you. You must not only love God, you must fear God. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. A lot of us, we say we love God, which is good, you should love God and all of that. But what about the fear of God? The fear of God has grown wings and flown out of the church of the living God these days. People don't fear God anymore. From the pulpit to the pew. That's why you find people messing up anyhow. Even so-called, I'm not putting anybody down, but even some of the things we hear about men of God these days, very questionable. You begin to wonder, is it the same gospel we are reading? And if the preacher is preaching that, what will the congregation members be doing? No fear of God. We love God. We say, oh, God understands. Yes. But does that mean that we should take grace for granted? Should we continue in sin and say that grace abides? Bible says, God forbid. And God is a two-sided God. Consider ye the kindness and goodness of God and His severity. That's Romans 11:22. So He's both a good God. He loves you. He loves me. He's understanding. He's compassionate. He's merciful. But He's also a consuming fire. So you don't play games with God. You need to take your life seriously. This year alone, I've heard about two serious born-again believers going about doing the things of the kingdom, two that had cancer in November. Both of them are gone now. So please, don't think you have all the time in the world. Don't think we learned about hell today. I would like to encourage all of you. During Sunday school this morning, we learned about hell. And I said, Pastor, please bring all the teenagers in. Let them come and hear about hell. Because nowadays, people think it's just a figment of imagination. Somebody's imagination. Some people say, oh, hell is here. Well, it can start here. If you go and marry the wrong person, it's hell on earth. That's the truth. But there's also a place called hell. So we need to live our lives with a consciousness of eternity. And stop playing games with God. Stop messing about. Stop sinning perpetually. Wisdom tells you. Somebody says, I don't like something. And then you do it again. God says, I don't like this thing. I don't like it when you do this thing. And you do it again, and you do it again, and you do it again. That's lack of wisdom. If you are really sorry, you will repent. That means you will stop doing that thing, and you will begin to do what you know He loves. If He says, I hate something, hate it. If God says, I hate lying, you too, you must hate lying. If He says, I hate backbiting, hate it. Whatever God says He hates, hate that thing. And whatever God says He loves, love that thing. And your life will be safe. So when we x-ray your relationship with God this morning, where is it? Have you become too busy? You've become a Martha. You've Martha'd yourself about things that don't really matter. You've left the things that are important. You know, there was one thing that I heard that has just stayed with me. A woman of God was preaching a message, and she just started talking about intimacy. And she said something that has remained with me since I heard it. And, just helps me to just come back to the place of the important thing, which is your relationship with God. She said, a lot of us are so busy. We are doing the things of the kingdom. We're serving God. Some of us even hate, we hate sin. We hate all, we are doing the works of God. But we have forgotten the place of our first love. Revelation 2 talks about that. You know, this thing I have against you, Jesus said, I know your works, you have good works, you've done everything that you're supposed to do. You love me, you serve me, and all of that. But there's one thing that I have against you, and that's because you've neglected the place of your first love. And then she now went on to say that when you have works without intimacy, it equates to vanity. That means I'm jumping around, praying, fasting, doing all the serving in the house of God, doing all those things, but I don't have time to cultivate and nurture my relationship with God. I don't have time to read the Bible. I'm too busy. I'm going to work. Too busy with the children or what have you. And I've neglected the main thing. It amounts to vanity. That means it's just useless. God would rather have you come and like Mary. Bible says, Jesus said, she has chosen the good, the one that is needful. Is what she has chosen. And that cannot be taken away from her. So we need to, you cannot be too busy to nurture your relationship with God. When you love God, wisdom will tell you to honor God. You honor me, honor him. And honor is not just, the Bible says people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. So it's not just what you say, it's what you do. Your actions shows that you honor God. Your actions shows that you love God. Your dressing as a woman shows that you love God. Every area of your life is telling us that this person does not joke with their love or their relationship with God. Hallelujah. I hope you are getting something this morning. So we need to go back to the beginning and begin to, you know, do an analysis. Sit down and think about your life. And say, all this, I've been coming to church from May to January to May this year. What has changed in my life? What do I need to change in my life? What is missing in my relationship with God? Hallelujah. The second relationship that you need to, that is very vital or key, is your relationship with your family. We read earlier, it says through wisdom a house is built, a family is built, a home is built. And they always say that charity begins at home. So that means that if your home life is not really working, excuse me, you need to go and check it out. Your home life, that is your first congregation. Your husband, your wife, and your children. So if you can't get it right there, what are you doing going around? You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't do the works of the kingdom, but you should sit down and say, Father, before I export this gospel, let me just make sure that in my home, you know, it's working. My husband is pleased with me. My wife is pleased with me. My children are pleased with me. Before I now begin to, because you can't give out what you don't have. If it's not working at home, you have no business going around the whole place. Fix it at home. Wisdom tells you to place your family first. Wisdom tells you to put your spouse's needs before your own. Wisdom tells you to honor and respect one another. Wisdom tells you that you spend time, husband and wife, spending time building your friendship with one another. Because the children will leave one day. And then what do you have left? And wisdom also will tell you that if it's not working, you seek for counsel. You go to people that are ahead of you that can help you, that can give you the nuggets that you need. So a lot of us, we don't know. And we refuse to acknowledge that we don't know. So we remain where we are. And we are praying. We are praying. And God is saying, all you need, just go and ask for wisdom on how to do this thing. But you are there praying. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom tells you when you're married, to be careful how you relate with people of the opposite sex. We heard from Jill. We went for a conference with Jill recently. And he was talking about the brothers that go around hugging sisters that they're not married to. Be careful. Go around hugging. You hug. What are you doing hugging somebody that's not your wife? I don't understand. As a married man or even a single brother, why are you hugging a sister? Go and hug a brother. Say, Pastor said we should hug the person sitting next to us. That's no. Or you go, you your handshake is lingering and you're sending a message. You know, lingering handshake. Hallelujah. Wisdom tells you as a husband to honor your wife. Don't suppress your wife. Please. Be like pastor. Put your hands together for pastor one more time. Don't oppress your wife. Don't suppress her. Some homes, the wife does not have any say. I'm the Lord and the master of this house. What I say is, you're not supposed to boss your wife. You're not supposed to boss your wife. You're supposed to lead your wife, not boss your wife. God doesn't boss us. God does not boss us around. God tells us, you know, in his word, and we are meant to, he's the shepherd, he leads us and we follow. You're meant to lead, not boss your wife. And then you wives as well, watch your mouth. You have your own. You need to know when to talk. Wisdom will tell you this is not the right time to bring this issue up. There are some things you reserve for pillow talk. Wisdom. It's not when the man is coming back from work, he's coming from London, he's been on the train. That's when you say, hey, that what we're talking about this morning is just coming in. Give him time. Give him food first. Let the man relax. Let him watch Manchester and whatever, who's playing. Who? Arsenal, whatever. And then broach. Like Esther. Esther didn't just go to the king and say, you know what, I need to tell you about. She would have been killed. She timed it. When do I go to this king? When is the right time to go? And then she didn't just go. She brought food. She first of all fed the man. And then she now said, you know this guy called it. Now, hey man. Say, where is he? Where? But you say the right thing at the wrong time, it will fail. Wisdom tells you to know when to talk. Wisdom tells you to know how to talk. Wisdom in building your home. Hallelujah. Wisdom tells you to spend time with your children. Invest in your children. Spend time with them. Don't, as a married man, don't leave everything to your wife. You too. Do something now. If you know, this is London. This is not back home where we come from, where you have driver, you have everything. Domestic help. You hardly lift a finger. But in this country, you both go to work. You know, you're meant to have the roles in a way that whoever is available. Don't say you are the woman, it's your job. You must always go shopping. Who says? If you're near Tesco, buy the cereal now. It's not for your children. Buy the cereal. Why does it have to be the woman that is, or vice versa? You are the man, oh, you should always buy the petrol. Who says? It's a man's job. Who told you that? Where did you get your definition from? It's always the man's job to do this. Because maybe when you were growing up, that's what you saw being modeled. But you need to look at what works for you as a couple. The man should always be the one that manages the finances. And the man doesn't know how to balance. What is it they balance? Balance. He doesn't know credit. He doesn't know debt. You say you are the man. The man must be the finance manager. And you did accountancy. Who says it must be the man that must be the one that is balancing the accounts? So wisdom. Wisdom tells you to look at what you have and to apply, you know, what will work for you. Hallelujah. The next relationship, there's so much to say, I'm very little time to say. The next relationship that we need to apply wisdom. Relationship, I've just said relationship with others. So under others, you have your parents. You have your parents, your spiritual parents, and your biological parents. The book of Deuteronomy 5:16. Honor your father and your mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, that your days may be long. Please open your Bible there. Deuteronomy 5:16. Flip your Bible there and underline that your days may be long. Underline it. And that it may be well with you. Underline. In the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You know, when I understood this scripture, you know, growing up, I come from a single parent home. My dad died when I was quite young. And so my mom had to raise four of us, and I happened to be the firstborn. And you know how it is with firstborns in Nigeria. You come from a single parent home and then you're the firstborn again. So you can imagine what I went through. You know, you are the example, you are the guinea pig. So everything, you know, you must just be straight, you must just be everything. So it was very tough. My mom was very tough on me. And rightly so, because if she didn't, only God knows where I'll be now. You know what I mean? So she was very, very tough on me. And so for many years, I resented it. I resented it because I felt she was so hard. She was this, she was that, that. And, you know, I used to react, you know. And this was many years, even after I had given my life. I would just react. When I just remember some things she said or some things she did, the thing would come out of nowhere. I would talk anyhow. My husband was the one that God used to save me. He said, can you be talking to him? I said, she deserves it. She did it. And all the anger and all the rage that had suppressed for many years would come out. I would flare up. When I began to understand this scripture, I changed my ways. You know, when the Bible says, when I was a child, I thought like a child. I behaved like one. But when I became a man, I put away childish or foolish things. When I really understood the scripture, that means if I don't honor my mother, my father, my mother or my parents, my days will not be long. That's what the Bible is saying. If I don't honor them in my word, if I don't honor them in thought and in deed, it won't go well with me. I began to. Now, I just leave the woman. I just leave her. You know, God has helped me. I've been able to forgive and let go of that. Some of you, the reason why you're struggling in life is because your relationship with your parents. You need to go and make amends. That it may be well with you. Is it well with you? Some of you, when your parents think about you, do they sigh? You know, it's so dangerous. You think about somebody, you just go, That is saying a million and one things. Or when they think about you, they sing. And they're just singing. I don't know how to translate what I'm thinking in my head. It's a Yoruba word. I don't know how to translate it. Are they singing over you? Singing songs when your mom or your dad thinks about you. What kind of thoughts? Do you grieve them or gladden their heart by your actions? And some of you are saying, but you don't know what my mom or my dad did. It doesn't matter. It really does not matter. Because if you don't sow it, you can never reap it. Don't forget you have children as well. So no matter what they have done, you just make sure you do the right thing. You just so good. Make amends. Make amends when necessary. This is the wisdom that you need to be successful in life. If you don't, the Bible says your days will not be long. That means he reduces. He just reduces the number of days. That's why you find out that these days, people are dying anyhow. People are dying anyhow these days. And maybe, peradventure, maybe some of the reasons why people are just dropping anyhow is because of the scripture. So keep your head safe. Your biological parents, you must make sure you honor them. Honor them in word and in deed. Honor them with your substance. Some people will say, when I have that, that breakthrough that I'm believing God for, when the money comes, then I will take care of my parents. No, start now. I was telling somebody yesterday that came to me. I said, look, even if it's recharge card, is that what they call it in Nigeria? Recharge. We have something called recharge card in Nigeria. You have it in Uganda as well. She's looking at me. Yeah. Even if it's pop-up, whatever, every month, it's not about the amount. It's about the principle. So that they see it, their heart is glad and they bless you. Because when your parents say you are blessed, you know you are blessed. This is the wisdom that you need. It's not prayer alone. Check these things out. Make amends. Somebody needs to make amends with their mother or their father. This is the month of wisdom. If it's so bad you can't approach them, send people to them to go and beg for you and do the right thing. Grace is available. Whatever it is that they've done, grace is available. That's why you're a believer. That's why you're a Christian. You know, apply the principles of the Bible. The Bible says forgive, that means there's grace available to forgive. So if you need to go and see somebody, you need to come and see your pastors, let us walk you through. Not for them only, but also for you. I had to learn that. Because the cane of your elders is not in your hand. You're not meant to rebuke and correct and talk to your parents anyhow. God had to, I used to, because my temperament is really whatever, but through my husband and through the word of God, the Holy Spirit convicting you. So you cannot, I want to live long. I don't know about you. I want to live long. I want to be here for a very long time. So I will do whatever I need to do. That they won't offend you, lie. They will offend you. They will keep offending you. You just must choose not to. Just ignore it. Don't see it. And continue doing what you know to do. The Lord will give you understanding in the name of Jesus. Not only your spiritual parents, your biological parents, your pastors. A lot of people think it's only their biological parents they are meant to honor. You're also meant to honor your spiritual parents. The people that provide covering over you spiritually. The people that you go to, that give you counsel, that pray with you. You eat from their table every Sunday. Wisdom tells you to honor them. Not just in word, in action, in deed, and all other ways. Some of us, we just live our lives anyhow. Everything you earn is just for yourself. Just you, yourself, me, myself, and I. Nobody is blessed by your sweat. Everything you eat. That's not how to live your life as an eagle believer. It's only chickens. You know chickens? Have you seen most chickens? They just eat corn. They don't share with anybody. But eagles don't behave like that. You're meant to share. You're meant to honor with your substance. Because, you know, there's some things in life that, and I was thinking about it the other day, and I always, if I'm not sure about something, I always check with pastor, because he's my pastor. He's, you know, he's the one that, when I'm not, he tells me this is how to do it, and I listen. So we were having a discussion, and I said, you know, pastor, I was thinking about it, and I thought, you know, the role of your spiritual parents is so key, and a lot of people underestimate that relationship. Because you know that, if you remember Reuben in the Bible, Reuben was cursed by Jacob. Okay? Jacob, his father, cursed him, his biological father, and said that he said he will be, his men will be few, and he will not live, I think something like that. You shall not excel, and his men shall be few. Okay? That is in Genesis 49, verse 3. It took Moses, his spiritual father, in Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 6. Moses, who was the spiritual father of Israel, it took him to reverse that curse. So if your biological parents curse you, and they won't, but let's say something happens and they do, at least you can run to your spiritual to reverse it. If the spiritual curses you, who do you go to? You go to God, but sometimes God will tell you to go back and make amends. Because God is a God of principles. God is a God of principles. He honors his word above his name. So, who do you go to? And there are some unspoken curses. We don't curse anybody in this church. We never hear us say anything bad. Or negative or evil with our mouth. We bless, we don't curse. But there are some unspoken curses that people bring upon themselves. So you need to live your life with a consciousness of kingdom common sense so that your life will be safe. Wisdom tells you that you don't joke around with them. I don't joke around with people that you can't be my friend. You cannot be my friend if you criticize my pastor. Well, my pastor is my husband. But even when I was when we were in Trinity Chapel, you know, many years ago, you can't be my friend. You know where I stand part time. You cannot come to my house and rubbish my pastor and talk anyhow. That friendship is over. You can't even be my friend. There was a time, wisdom tells you that you must do whatever it takes to curry the favor of your parents and your spiritual parents. Wisdom. You want their, Bible says that we should obey those that have rulership over us. And they should do it with what? Gladness. Because if they don't do it with gladness, if they do it with grief, it will not be profitable to you. So when you realize, wisdom tells you, notice that something, this is wisdom for relationship. This is the way Pastor and I live our lives. You notice that something is not right with your, maybe your biological or your spiritual parents. That the way they smiled at me today, and you don't check it out. You need to check yourself out. You must do, wisdom will tell you, I need to, just in case. There was a time, she's a witness, I did something, you know, unconsciously to my former pastor's wife, Pastor Bimbo. You know, I didn't even know I did it. I didn't intentionally, you know, do anything that I would offend her. But I did something that she didn't like, and I didn't know. And it just came out. You know, one day we were together, and she just said, and I just realized that I had done something. She was with me. All through, we were in London, all throughout the journey back to Milton Keynes, I was not myself. I wasn't comfortable. Because she must be happy with me. She must just be happy. Because when her heart is glad, she will bless me. When her heart is grieved, it's not for my own profit. I was not myself. I told Pastor, I said, I could not sleep. I could not until that thing was corrected. And I realized that her heart was, then I was okay. And I did some other things that I'll tell you about. The last relationships that you need wisdom for, wisdom with other people, your mentors, life coaches, people that God, significant or key people that God brings your way in this journey called destiny. You must have wisdom on how to manage them. That's why when somebody comes into your life, you define, who are they? Is she a friend? Is he a friend? Is he a colleague? Is he my senior? Is he my junior? Because once you are able to define that relationship, you will know the rules that apply. When somebody is your senior, you don't treat them like your mate. When somebody is your mate, you don't treat them like your junior. That's wisdom. You must just know part time, which level, what posture do I adopt here? Am I going down? Am I staying up? Am I going? You must just know. It's part of wisdom. So you must define. You must discern, who are they? Who are they to me? Who am I to them? And that would define how you relate with them. Because some people say, everybody is equal. No. We're all equal before God. But men come in sizes. And there are some people, their grace and the anointing and the grace they carry is more than your own. Wisdom will tell you, you don't talk to them like you're talking to your friend. That's part of wisdom. You must know who is your senior. And who is your junior? You must just know. And it must reflect. It will reflect in the way you send your texts. It will reflect in your language. It will reflect in your posture. It will reflect in every area of your life. And you know, when you do that, you just get favor. It's amazing. When you understand this thing, you just find out that favor and grace is coming to you. Access is increasing to that person. Because when God opens a door and you lack wisdom on how to relate properly in a relationship, the door will close. When God brings a mentor your way, a mentor is somebody that has achieved what you want to achieve. They are the picture of your future. They have attained what you are still trying to attain in life. God just looks upon you, has mercy on you, and ensures that your path crosses with that person's path. And you don't know what you're supposed to do, it will close. Mike Murdock, when you mention some people and you know what they're about, when you're talking about wisdom, you're talking about Mike Murdock. He said, a mentor is wisdom without the pain. He says, two ways to get wisdom, through mentors or mistakes, through people or through pain. Says mentorship is the transfer of knowledge. Mentorship requires pursuit from you, not from your mentor. it always makes me when I won't go there. It requires pursuit from you. Ruth was the one that clung to Naomi. She said, go back. She said, you don't understand. My destiny is tied to you. If I go back, I go back into obscurity. I'm not going anywhere. The Bible says when she saw that she was determined not to leave, she allowed her stay. Elisha is the one that ran after Elijah, not the other way around. Mary, the mother of Jesus. You say, Mary is the mother of Jesus. What else does? Why is she? She's no. The Bible says when she discovered that she was carrying destiny, she went uphill. She went uphill. She traveled with pregnancy uphill. Can you imagine? She went to Elizabeth, a woman that was more experienced, a woman that knew what it means to be pregnant, because she was already 5 months pregnant. So she understood the symptoms. She could say to Mary, don't worry, you'll be fine. It's just morning sickness. It will pass. After the first 3 trimesters, you'll be okay. She was carrying destiny. The woman too was carrying destiny. So they were able, she was able to impact. Elizabeth didn't go and meet Mary. Mary had to go uphill. You have to pursue your mentor. I'm saying this because a lot of people come to Pastor and I, they're like, no. You know, sometimes your pastor can be your mentor. Sometimes they are not. My pastor is my mentor, but I also have another mentor, Mama Adejumo, who is not my pastor. She's my mentor. She's not my pastor. So you must understand the principles. You must understand who they are. They come to us and say, Pastor, we don't know what to do. These are the things that we do. I do. Mama Adejumo does not pursue me. She doesn't have the time. You need what they have, not the other. This is wisdom. And those that want, no, it's not. If this message is not for everybody, really. It's not. It's for a few people that are serious about making a success of key relationships in their life. You pursue. You invest. Wisdom tells you to invest in the relationship. You invest your time. You invest your substance. You invest your prayer. Because if you don't invest anything, you can't reap anything from that thing. How can you? You haven't sown anything and you want to come and reap. It doesn't work like that. You must, Pastor is also telling us about adding value. Find something to add value to that person's life. Add value. Find something you can do. Find something you can give. If it's your time, if it's your prayer, whatever it is that the Lord lays on your heart. Find something that you can do to make a difference. And we heard a lot about seed sowing this morning. It's interesting that the 2 testimonies we heard, she talked about seed sowing, the president, what's his post? President Razak. He told us about the seed he sowed. These are principles. They say the secret of champions is in their story. 2 people that share testimony talked about seed. If you don't sow into the life of your mentor, especially if it's a spiritual relationship, because there are different types of mentors. You can have a marriage mentor. You can have a career mentor. You can have a business mentor. You can have a ministry mentor. If it's a spiritual mentorship, spiritual principles apply. And the grace that you do not sow into can never speak in your life. You don't sow into it, it can't speak. It can't speak. You are meant to stay connected to them, not the other way around. You stay connected with your mails. You stay connected with your phone calls, whatever way. I'm not saying be calling every day, but you just ensure that the connection is not broken. You ensure that you are still connected because it's about destiny. As they are running, they are dragging you behind. As they are going, you are following them. And as long as they follow God, you follow them. When they stop following God, don't follow someone that's not following God. That goes without saying. So these are the things that you need to do. Sow your time. Sow your substance. My mentor, you all know what I do for her. Apart from the Mother's Summit, that's just the big thing that I do. I run errands for her. I'm just finding a way of adding value to her life. I respond to her emails. I'm finding a way of responding to her need. And as I do that, I can see her grace speaking in my life. I can see it coming. I'm not where I should be, but there's no way you can follow greatness and not be great. It's impossible. It's about the kingdom. You cannot be following greatness and the greatness will not speak in your life. It's impossible. So when you understand these things, you don't truncate or frustrate the relationship. When you understand the way you're supposed to send a text, you know, one text can cancel access. One wrong text can just close the door that you have. And you'll be wondering, what did I do wrong? You didn't. From your text, we can see whether there's honor in your life, whether you honor that person or not. Your email. There was a time I wrote a mail on behalf of my mentor, my Adejumo. She told me to do something, and I wrote an email. I told you, Pastor is my... Thank God, when I constructed the mail, and I took it to Pastor. I said, Pastor, please help me read this email. Make sure that the email is the language, the tone, and everything. And he helped me check. It was fine. And I sent it off. It was to a ministry. I didn't know that she was going to ask for that mail. Now, normally, I wouldn't send it to her because I do things like that for her anyway. She now said, that mail you sent, can I see it? I want to see it. She now said to me, I want to study the tone. I won't go into details. I said, thank God I checked this thing with Pastor. Because if I had written that mail in a funny, funny tone, if I had just written anyhow, that's how, you know, things, well, I've just noticed that the person you had favor with before, they now, because you didn't have wisdom, the Lord will give you wisdom in the name of Jesus. Rise to your feet. The Lord will give you wisdom in the name of Jesus.